Sally Mae had just come out with the morning scraps. Pete the Barn Cat and I had just made a huge wager on which of us would get the scraps, and I was very confident that my new routine, faithful dog waiting patiently, would win Sally Mae's heart, and that I would, win all the scraps. I gave her a big cow-dog smile and moved my paws up and down, showing eagerness but not greed. She came down the sidewalk. She spoke to the cat, who had fallen into a sour sulk and was glaring ice picks at me. I loved it. She said good morning to the stupid cat, but kept her gaze locked on me and continued walking in my direction. What a fine lady. I'd always had a huge fondness for Sally Mae, even in the darkest hours of our relationship. I felt no bitterness, no anger. Yes, she had brought false charges against me for, well, digging up her garden, shredding a few slippers and magazines, oiling her shrubbery, barking at night, eating a chicken or two, and okay, maybe there had been a shred of truth in her false charges, but the important thing was that, in spite of a few weird ideas, she was a good woman. A fair woman. A woman who cared about such important things as faithfulness and patience. And I could see that she could see those very qualities shining forth from my whole personality, making the world a better, brighter place. Our eyes met. It was a touching moment. This was working so well that I turned up the eagerness knob just a tad and increased the width of my cowdog smile. Victory was almost within my grasp. She came to the yard gate, placed her lovely hands on the top of the gate, and looked down at me with eyes that were glowing with something. A new appreciation of me and my importance to the ranch. She said,
"Good morning, Hank."
There, you see, she had addressed me by my proper name instead of using some of her other names, such as Hank McNasty or Greedy McPig. This was going well, very well. She continued,
"You're waiting patiently for scraps, aren't you?" "Yes, you are, and I'm impressed. I haven't seen this side of you very often. What a nice dog."
She leaned over the fence and, you won't believe this, rubbed me on the head. I accepted the honor with all the humbability I could muster, then shot a glance at Kitty Kitty. He had seen it all and it was about to kill his soul. She spoke to me again.
"Hank, you're the very picture of patience and faithfulness."
Oh, was that a bullseye or what? By George, we had just dropped a bomb right down the smokestack. I shot another glance at Kitty. He was seething with anger and greed and pettiness. Had become a self of his former shell. I gave him a little wink just to let him know that, tee-hee, I understood the depth of his suffering and, tee-hee, was loving it. I turned my adoring eyes back to Sally Mae. She spoke.
"You're waiting so patiently and faithfully for scraps, Hank. But I hate to tell you this."
"Huh?"
"I brought out the scraps 15 minutes ago. You dogs weren't here, so I gave them all to the cat."
"Huh? What the? Gave them all to the..." My mind was reeling. I cut my eyes from side to side. My gaze landed on Pete. He grinned and waved his paw. She spoke again.
"Goodness, you've scabbed your nose. Well, I'm sorry I don't have any scraps, but for good dogs, there's always tomorrow."
And with that, she turned and went back to the house. "For good dogs, there's always tomorrow." The door closed behind her, shattering my hopes and dreams, leaving my life and self-esteemer in scrambles on the ground. No, there would not be tomorrow. I had just gambled away my scrap rights for 3 tomorrows, which might as well have been forever. That I had lost was pain enough. That the cat had won made it almost I turned a murderous gaze on the little swindler.